Well, it's Wednesday night again. That means it's Bible study. We're glad that you came out, and we are once again in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and we will be reading verses 33 through 40 this evening. We'll be spending our time looking at these eight verses, 33 through 40, Psalm 119. Beginning in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for your grace and for your kindness, your compassion. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together, and we thank you for this beautiful song that we have been examining these past few weeks. Lord, I just pray as we begin now to look at these verses tonight, at this section, that you would open our hearts to the things of God, that your Spirit would guide us. Lord, I pray that the words that I speak tonight would be your words, that the thoughts that would come into my mind tonight would be placed there by your Spirit. I pray that the beauty of this psalm and the great wealth of information that's contained here, Lord, in this passage, that you would give me wisdom in dealing with it. And Father, I just pray that your word would be a blessing to us tonight. And we give you praise and we thank you, asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at this psalm, and this is actually a psalm about the Word of God. We have the Word of God telling us about the Word of God. And this portion of Scripture, of course, like all, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist took it upon himself through this great leading of the Spirit of God to teach us what the Word of God is all about. And we have a lot of questions, most of us do, when we come to the Word of God. But here in this psalm, we find an application of the Word of God for just about everything that you can possibly imagine. And it's the Word of God is shown from all different angles, how we are to approach it, what we're to do with it, how we are to learn from it. And so tonight we're going to look at this particular section. And if you haven't been kind of keeping track over the past few weeks, in the first of the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, we found the importance of the Word of God. And it showed us that we needed to see the Word as sovereign. The second letter of the Hebrew alphabet taught us that the importance of applying the Word of God. And it showed us that the Word is our guard, our guardian. The third showed us the need for daily devotionals. We spoke of that, Sam, and the need for daily devotionals. And then it showed us that we need to see the Word as our guide. Now, the last time that we came together, last week, we looked at the fourth of these letters, and we saw the need for commitment. We saw the need for dedication to the Word of God, and we see the Word as our hope. Tonight, we're going to look at something else. Tonight, we're going to look at this, and we're going to see that this is the way, or these is revealed to us here in these eight verses, how to finish well. We hear a great deal in the Word of God about finishing well. When we go and we look at the Apostle Paul and we see his writings in the New Testament, we find that Paul spoke clearly that we need to finish well. That was his greatest concern. Not just that he ran the race, but that he finished the race and that he did it properly. And he brings that out, emphasizes that over and over and over in his writings in the New Testament, the importance of finishing well. Well, the Bible talks about these things, but it doesn't just leave us hanging, because it also teaches us how to finish well, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. How does the Word of God help us to finish well? We look at some of the Old Testament names. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the Bible is complete now. I would hate to think that my life was an open book the way that David's was, or Solomon's was, or some of these men. Can you imagine what it would be like to know, to look back, and to see all of my mistakes laid bare on the pages of Scripture for the people to examine? These men, and we can go right from Adam and Eve, right straight through to the book of Revelation, person after person after person, their life is opened before our eyes. Not so that we can criticize them, but so that we can learn from them. The important thing is, do we learn from them? And we have before us, when we look, you can see men like Lot and Samson. Started well, finished poorly. We see other men like David. David started well, finished well, but there in the middle, he ran into some major problems. We're going to find ourselves, by the way, in all of these aspects, whether we start well, finish well, or whether we start well, fade off, and then finish well, or whether we start well and we don't finish well at all. And tonight we're going to look at how to finish well. I don't really know where you stand tonight, spiritually. Nobody really knows that except you and the Lord. Where you stand in your life with the Lord. Whether you're walking with Him, you're running with Him, or you're running away from Him. Or maybe you're just standing still, hoping that the Lord doesn't see that you're just jogging in place. There's a lot of us that do all of these things. And we're going to see six things that are needed to finish well. And here in the 33rd verse, we see, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." The first thing that we need to see and we need is to learn. We have to learn. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." And the learning that we do is a desire on our heart to reach out to God and to learn of God, but the teaching comes from God Himself. Sometimes He teaches us through the Word, and other times He teaches us through testing and times of trial in our lives. Our whole life is a textbook which is in the process of being learned. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." We put a great deal of emphasis, especially in our society today. Things have changed so much just in my lifetime. But the day of mom and dad raising a child and the child growing up and taking over the family farm, his child growing up and taking over the family farm, is over. We have the way that the world is situated today and the things that are going on in the world makes that virtually impossible. What we have today is an emphasis on education. And everybody, from the moment that a baby is born, as parents, we begin to teach that child that if they ever want to accomplish anything in life, they need to be educated. They need to learn in school. They need to plan ahead to be successful in a field. They need to look at university. All of these things, and we continuously put that on the shoulders of our children. And most of our kids, by the time they graduate from university, one of two things has happened. Either they're in debt or mom and dad are in debt because they've been trying so desperately to get this education that the world demands on the part of people in order to be in what we would refer to as successful. What is tragic is that Christians spend much more effort preparing their children to be successful in this world than they do in preparing their children to be successful in God's eyes. And we make sure that they're at all the social events. We make sure that they get to all the recitals. We make sure that they get to this and to that, and that they can broaden their horizons and their education is great. But usually it's at the expense of Wednesday night prayer meeting or Sunday evening service, sometimes even Sunday morning service. We have our emphasis and our priorities all mixed up because God should always come first. If you want your child to have a successful life, for about 50, 60, 70 years, you're on the right track. If you want your child to have a successful eternity, we need to change the way we think about what we do and why we do it, and our children. Learn. Education. It's a priority. The world says it's a priority to educate our children so that we can have the edge over that guy's children. The Bible teaches us that we need to have the education of Scripture so that we will have the edge not over that person over there, but over Satan, over sin, and over the person of the old nature that haunts us from within. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. There's many things that we teach our children about the world, but here the psalmist cries out to be taught in the way of God. He said, if you will teach me, my desire's there, if you will teach me, I shall keep it unto the end. I'll finish well. In verse 34 it says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Here's the second part, or the second thing that we need. We need to understand. Knowledge can consist of a whole bunch of numbers. It can consist of facts and statistics. And people can dazzle you with numbers and statistics. They can memorize things that they can put all of this knowledge, they can compartmentalize it, they have a great memory. But unless you understand and you know how to apply what you know, knowledge does you very little good. Understand. Give me understanding. And the psalmist understood one thing already, that understanding does not come from within. It comes from above. True understanding of what God's desire is for your life comes from the Spirit of God. And you cry out, or He cries out, we should cry out as well, give me understanding. Help me. And I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Once again, we see the reference here in this psalm, and we see it over and over and over to the whole heart. And we've mentioned before, too many Christians approach God the same way they do life, half-heartedly. And God deserves and desires much more than that. So he cries out, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. If we had five doctors here, all of them very knowledgeable in their field, and you have been diagnosed with a brain tumor, all five doctors would look at your chart, all five doctors could look at your x-ray, and they would say, yes, that person has a brain tumor. But one of those doctors has been trained, and he understands not only that you have a tumor, but he understands how to remove it. Which one of them do you want for your doctor? Do you want the four that can read it but can't help you, or do you want the one that understands how to get rid of that thing? You see, as Christians, we need to not only have all of this knowledge, and it's wonderful to be able to quote Scripture, don't get me wrong, but far too many of us quote Scripture, but we never apply that Scripture to our lives. We don't learn to walk in the way of God. We simply, if somebody has a problem, we have the answer. We rattle off Scripture to them, and that's wonderful. But then they look at our lives and they say, how come you know so much about the Bible, but you don't live it? And it kind of loses its appeal. It's important that we live it. And we won't live it unless we understand it. And so there's a cry not only for the teaching of God so that we have knowledge, but there's a cry for understanding so that we will take what we know and we will apply it so that we can grow in our grace, in our walk with God, and that we can become closer through the leading of the Spirit of God. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. It's been said that the heart is never holy until it's whole. Interesting. The heart is never holy until it's whole. And it's never whole until Jesus Christ owns it completely. So we have these two things. We have to learn and we need to understand. Now in verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Here we have the need to obey. And we find that obedience doesn't just come because I want to obey today. Obedience comes because the Lord helps us and makes us obey. If we come to a fork in the road and we have a general idea of where we should go, but instead we choose the other path out of curiosity, we find ourselves in big trouble. We need God as our shepherd. And over in the Scripture, He is presented as our shepherd to guide us on the right path. And that's what He's saying. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments. You can examine life after life after life today in this world. Maybe even your own life. We can look in the mirror and we can look in the past. We can read the Word of God. We can examine ourselves in the light of Scripture. But most people, barring someone who is mentally unable, knows basic right from wrong. God is placed within the heart of every man, even though he is fallen. He's placed in the heart of every man a general idea of what is right and what is wrong. And you don't have to be taught so much what's right and what's wrong, as you know it in your heart, as a child. You know it's wrong to lie, but you do it. Nobody has to tell you it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to lie. And sooner or later, mom and dad will snap you up on it. And they'll correct you for it. And if they don't, society will. Yet we live in a society filled with liars. We know right from wrong. The problem is, we choose wrong. And the world is filled with people who choose wrong. You can go into the correctional facility over here in Waterville, or you can go into a federal prison, and you will find that place filled with people who knew what they were doing was wrong. However, they chose to do it anyway. And when they get caught, oh, if you just give me one more chance. But the problem is they've already broken the law. They've already hurt somebody, stolen something, or they have killed somebody. But now they want you to forgive them for it, and yes, God is able to forgive. Praise God. I would hate to think what my life would be like tonight if God did not forgive. But there are certain penalties under the law for transgressions. We need the guidance of God to make us follow the path. Forget the correctional facility. Forget the prison. If God could open hell tonight, you would find that it is filled with people who knew right from wrong, who had been told by their grandparents and their parents that they needed the Lord, had been prayed for all their lives, but instead they chose to ignore what they knew to be true, and they walked on the wrong path. And what is even more horrible than that is a Christian who not only knows what's right, but has had the Word of God preached to them and taught to them, have read the Scriptures for themselves and know what God says, and yet continually choose to do what's wrong. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments. Oh, how we need a shepherd that will lead us in the right way. So we need to learn, we need to understand, and we need to obey. Now in verses 36 and 37, we need to pray. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Incline my heart. There is a prayer here for two particular parts of the body. In verse 36, it's the heart. And verse 37, it's the eyes. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. So we have here two things that we should be praying for constantly if we want to finish well. First, it's our heart. It's our heart. We need to make sure that our heart is sensitive to the things of God, not hardened to the Word of God. But we need our heart to be inclined unto thy testimonies, unto the Word of the living God, and not to covetousness. Isn't it strange that he, of all the words that he could have used, and out of the Ten Commandments, the one that he said was covetousness? Why didn't he say, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to murder? Or, and not to adultery? Not to fornication? Why? Because covetousness is the reason for all of the others. We kill because we covet. We want what somebody else has. We commit adultery because we want what somebody else has. We fornicate because we want what somebody else has. We want to use somebody for our own satisfaction. So he says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Help me to be perfectly happy with what you have given me, and not to desire that which you do not want me to have. That's a hard lesson that so many people get caught up in the world today. Covetousness. The desire to always have something else, something new. We buy a new vehicle, and before that new car smell is gone, we're already on the car lots checking out what we're going to buy next. Covetousness. Covetousness is why we build a house, but we build a house big enough for 10 people instead of for 2 people. Because we want all these little things added, right? We want them. That's covetousness. There's so many ways that covetousness enters into our lives. And it's so easy to get caught up in it because we're surrounded by it. We live in a culture that thrives on covetousness. That's why you hear Christmas carols in July. Because we're trained to start buying for Christmas. Start buying. Get that thing before the neighbor down there picks one up for their kids. Covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. In other words, make sure my eyes don't stay too long on worthless things. Worthless things. Our landfills are absolutely jammed with things that we had to have. Couldn't live without. But now they're old. Something else has come out, replaced them. And so now they're on the junk. They're thrown out. We don't need them anymore. Something better and bigger came along and we've gone and spent our money on that. But our eyes are always looking at things and evaluating whether we can afford them. Not whether we should have them, but whether we can afford them and how soon we can afford them. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. If we looked at the work of the church, at getting the Word of God out to people, the way we look at planning for our next vehicle, our next home, the church would be an entirely different organism than what we have today. Absolutely changed. Because covetousness and these things have come into the church and they're preying upon God's people. Robbing us. They're robbing us and they're robbing the work of God. Turn away mine eyes from beholding the worthless things in life. And quicken thou me in all thy way. In other words, give me life instead. Help my life to be full. Help my life to be established on Jesus Christ. Help my life to be absolutely following the Word of God. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a new car. There's nothing wrong with building a new home. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. It's just that if God's people would put the same amount of effort into going after souls as we do in going after toys, what a different church we'd have. And what a different outlook God's people would have on life. Now in verse 38 and verse 39, we see fear. We need to pray, but we also need to fear or have respect for who God is. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Now he doesn't mean that we're to cower every time the word of God is read. We're not to go hide and try to get out of God's eyesight because we're afraid of what he's going to do to us. Our God is a loving, compassionate God. But our God is also a holy God, a righteous God, and he has demands upon our lives. He has great expectations for each of us. And so he said, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. We need to have respect for God's holiness. It is so important that we recognize and understand the holiness of our God. Establish the word unto thy servant. In other words, let me have your word first and foremost in my heart and in every decision that I make. Because I'm a servant. And I can't please you. I can't be a good servant unless I know and unless I'm in tune with what you desire. So establish your word unto thy servant. Why? Because I have respect unto you. I fear you. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. He said, the last thing that I want is for me to see your anger, God's anger. Too many of us are more concerned about what people think than we are about what God thinks. And so we don't say anything and we don't do anything that might be offensive, that people might take the wrong way. We would never go up to them and ask them if they have accepted Christ as their Savior or if they're a sinner. We've never asked them if they are in danger or do they know if they're going to heaven or if they're going to hell, because we don't want to offend people. And yet that's what the Bible tells us we're to be doing. We're to go to people, we're to show them in the Scriptures what's going to happen to them eternally if people, if they do not understand that they have an eternal soul that's in danger of dying without Christ. So he said, I want you to establish in my heart the Word of God, because I respect what you want. And I do not want to face your reproach. I would gladly face the reproach of men. And don't forget that the psalmist who's writing this has already mentioned that he has faced the ridicule of kings and of others who do not agree with him. So he's not just saying this to make us feel good. He's already been there. He's already faced these things. He understands the implications. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. I fear your reproach much more than I fear what men say. I could care less what men think. When I stand before God, I want God to say, well done. And so we have to know that we need to learn, we need to understand, we need to obey, we need to pray, we need to fear. But finally, we need to long. That's a strange one, isn't it? Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. I have longed. And that longing is so intense that he aches. I have ached to know your word. I have ached to be right and to stand on the word of God. I have ached to be in your praise and to be doing what your will has dictated for me. I have longed after your word. Quicken me in thy righteousness. There's that phrase again. Quicken me. It means give me life. Let me live in thy righteousness. What do you ache for tonight? What do you long for with every fiber of your being? What is the one thing that consumes your time, your energy? Well, the psalmist said that to him it was God. It was what God desired. It's what God wanted for him. It was, in his heart, in his mind, the only thing that really mattered was where he stood with God and what God thought of his effort. Well, we've looked tonight at what we need to do to finish well. Six things. Now we just have to go out and finish. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do give you praise tonight, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the compassion, Lord, that you have shown to us. We thank you for the challenges in your Word, the warnings. Father, we thank you that you are our shepherd. And Lord, we do pray that you would make us stay on the right path, that you would lead us in the path of righteousness. God, we give you praise tonight, and we thank you for this chance that we can come together and pray to you. And Lord, as we now go to our groups and as we bow before you, we ask, Lord, that you would hear our petitions And God, that you would grant us a petition in your presence. And we give you praise. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.